comb. It is always good to go, and there's a lot that you can learn when you go, but there is something about being back among people that you know and that you miss while you're away. And I did miss you, and a number of you said you missed me, and that even makes me feel better that you missed me. But I appreciate the fact that I was able to go. Appreciate the elders. And the brethren there told me to convey to you, the church, to the elders, to my family, how thankful they were that you allowed us to come, and allowed me, in my case, to come to be with them and to talk with them and to encourage them and to help them. And I'll have more to say about that next week. I'm not going to talk about that this morning, but I do want to convey that to you. I think oftentimes we live in an area that is really easy for us to get comfortable in our surroundings, and we think everybody is like we are, and we think everybody's got it like we have it. But there are people who live and they're trying to serve the Lord, trying to do the work of the Lord, and they're doing it under maybe extreme circumstances, a lot of sacrifice. And to have somebody who will come from a distance to see them and let them know that you're there, you're for them, and you're there to help them, it just means a lot. And they don't get that every day. Matter of fact, there are brethren on that island who've been preaching, who've been there for 7 years, and they'll tell you that they've never had anybody come to see them while they were there. And so it meant a lot to them, and I just want you to know what it did mean to them for us to be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us not grow weary. That's what I want to talk about this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 4 rather, and you're looking at with me in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. The New King James Version says, and we do not lose heart. Verse 16, as he goes on in the text, he says in verse 16, for which cause we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. We all want to buy things that last for a long time, don't we? That's why we buy plastic cups. We buy plastic cups, and we have them in our cabinet in the house, and we use those cups because, you know what, I don't have to worry about if I drop that cup that it breaks on that floor. And Carrie says, well, you've broken one of my glasses that goes to a set. I let her handle those glasses to the set. I just drink out of the plastic. You can treat that plastic cup anyway, and it endures. We get our money's worth. We have all kinds of souvenir cups in our cupboard. They last. We buy Energizer batteries. Why do we buy Energizer batteries? Because they last longer, don't they? Well, that's what Paul's saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, I want you spiritually to not lose heart. We have this ministry. We have received mercy. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We are people who are not going to be the type of people that lose heart. But I want to notice with you this morning, that is, that people do lose heart sometimes. But the admonition to us here this morning is do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Why do people lose heart? Well, there are reasons why, and we'll talk about that, but that there are signs of why people lose heart. There are three aspects to losing the heart. There's the idea of the signs that we see in losing heart. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 18. In verse 1, Jesus understood this, and as he's with his disciples, this is what he says in verse 1 of chapter 18. He said, he spake a parable unto them to this end. The men ought always to pray and to not lose heart. To not lose heart. Jesus equated fervent prayer to not losing heart. I want to tell you a sign of losing heart then would be somebody who doesn't spend time in fervent prayer. James chapter 5 says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A person who is not involved in praying fervently, constantly, sincerely, It's a person who is prone to be in a position to lose heart. And Jesus understood this. So he says, you need to understand that you ought to be a person who's always praying that you don't lose heart. As I think about this admonition, I think about others. I'm turning my Bible over now to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me in verse 18. Where Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, we read this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, being watchful to the end, being watchful thereunto the end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I think here's the admonition. We need to pray. I think about over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. What? Pray without ceasing. I want to tell you, a sign of a person who's liable to lose heart is a person who is not praying fervently. And I will say this morning that I hope that you will think about your life. What is it that you do on a daily basis? Where is your focus daily as you go about your activities? And it's going to tell you a whole lot about whether you're a person who is susceptible to losing heart. A person Jesus describes here as one who will not pray fervently. The admonitions in Scripture is the idea that we ought to pray. We ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to always, in everything, in all situations, in all matters, we ought to be praying. Are we praying people? We ought to be. We want to keep a relationship with the Lord. What we need to do is we need to make sure we're talking to the Lord. So many times, though, we think we can do it by ourselves. We have become such a self-sufficient people that we don't think we really need to take time. And so we don't take time to pray, and we don't pray. And so what we do is we grow weary in the work of love. You know, what are we supposed to be doing? Sending the light. And we ought to be doing is we just sang that song. I didn't ask Joel to sing that song, but I thought, how appropriate. We're sending the light. We're going out. That is our work. That is our job. That is our function. And what do? We grow weary because we don't pray. We don't take time to talk to God. We don't focus our attention back to God. You know, when we think about our lives, we need to understand that when we focus to God and we go to God in prayer, it changes our perspective of really things about life. When I take time to bow the knee and to pray to a God in heaven who can do everything that I would even think or ask. As a matter of fact, he's able to do exceedingly above what I'm able to think and ask. He told the Ephesians. So when I go and I pray to a God who can do those things, you know, it's going to make an impact upon me. I can't change a thing. You know, I got on the airplane the 20th of October to fly across the ocean to go to a place called Grenada. You know, I got on that plane, I could not control one thing about it. I could not control what that pilot was going to do. I trusted that the pilot was going to do what he said he was going to do, and that is he's going to fly this plane, and he's going to land on that little spot in the ocean out there called Grenada. And he was going to do everything in his power to do that. But, you know, even if he was doing that within his power, there are things that even he could not control. There are things that just happen sometimes that sometimes you can't control. He couldn't control whether the landing gears would malfunction or not. That was out of his control. He could do what he could about that. He couldn't control those engines. He couldn't make those engines go. He couldn't change one thing about those shots. He could get in the plane. He could operate it as well as he possibly could, as well as he had been trained. But I want to tell you, there were things that were even outside of his control. Even though he was a pilot and he was the one who had his, if you will, his hands on the wheel. I don't know if they have a wheel, but his hands on the wheel. He could not control everything about that trip. But there's one who can. There's one who can.
And so what do? You pray. You pray.
You know, I don't start praying about that trip when I board that plane. Matter of fact, I start praying before I even get to that airport. Because, you know, we can't control everything that happens in the airport either, can we? I mean, we used to. We'd go down to the airport. We'd go to the airport. We'd get on our plane. Everybody come down there. They'd hug us as we were boarding the plane. We'd be right there at the gate. Well, what's happened? Well, we've learned you can't do that anymore. Because you can't control everything. And so trying to control things, they have you go to the security, you go back in here, and you hope everything's okay. But you know what? There are people who break through security. People that get beyond where they're supposed to be. And when I was on this trip, I saw people who were stopped by the officials who were doing that, who were going through. Why? Because they thought there was some danger to them going forward past where they were. And you know what? There have even been times when I have been going through there and they'll say, whoop, stop. Matter of fact, on this trip, they said, stop just a minute. They took that wand and they wanded me over. They said, okay, you're good to go. And you know what? I could get real frustrated about all that. But God's taking care of me. I'm asking that God would take care of me. And I do that before. You know, and it's not just this trip that I have just recently been on. It's about everything in life. When I go to God, I ought to be praying daily, every day, for every situation of everything in life. I've got a problem. When do I start praying about it? I don't start praying and say, well, I've got to go have surgery now. Let's start praying. No, how about let's pray before we even know we are sick? That's what the fervent prayer of a righteous man will do. He will be fervently in prayer constantly in everything, in all supplication for all the saints and for all the times. Not waiting until we hear some bad announcement about somebody and say, now I've got to start praying. That is good when somebody has something that's coming up, and we do that. We announce it, and we begin to say, we're asking for prayers. That is good. It is good to petition God, especially in certain circumstances, for certain people in prayer, for treatments and whatever they have. But you know, we need to pray before that announcement comes. And when we do that, we're resting our attention on the fact that God is the one who can really take care of that. And so we see that. We need to be persistent in prayer. You know, this is not always visible to everybody. You know, I can't look out in this audience this morning and say, well, here are people who are persistent in prayer, and there are people who are not persistent in prayer. I can't tell you. All I'm looking at is people. And I believe that because you're here, I trust you are people who believe in prayer, and that you'll be persistent in prayer. But only you really know whether you're persistent in prayer. And God knows if you're persistent in prayer. Nobody else really knows that answer. It's not visible to others. But I want to tell you, there comes a point in time when it can become a visible sign to us. There's something that we grow visible to others, and that is that we do grow weary. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, this is what he says. In verse 9, he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to tell you, it is a fact that sometimes we can finally come to the point that we do grow weary in well-doing, and we stop doing well. Now that becomes visible. And I've often had people say, you know, David, I think you really need to preach on attendance. Buck, you ever been told that before? You need to preach on attendance. We got people who aren't attending. Well, that's all well and good, but you know, the people that are there aren't going to hear the sermon. The problem is that we need to understand there should be a focus before we get there about this attendance. And when we get that right, we're not going to have a problem with growing weary and well-doing. We're going to continue to do well. And so sometimes we look at the visible signs and we say, oh, there's a visible sign. You know, sometimes a visible sign might be when we begin to worship and the song leader announces his number and he looks out as the audience is singing and he sees somebody who is not singing. Now, it could be that you have laryngitis. It could be that you have a bad throat. It could be somebody says, well, I just don't have a good voice. I don't have a pleasant sounding voice. You know what? That is not commanded in Scripture. We are commanded to sing. But that might be a visible sign to somebody growing weary is that they're not putting into worship. They're not praying with the one who's praying. Oh, they may bow their head. But while the prayer is being made and as the supplications and requests are being made known to God, they are sitting there thinking about, okay, now when I leave here, I've got to go to the grocery store and get my eggs and get my bacon. And I've got to get out of here at 11:30, so I hope this preacher don't get out. It's too long. And I, you know, when preachers are preaching, I mean, there are all kinds of things going on. You can see everything from up here. And you know, what's really amazing sometimes is I can't tell you exactly what's going on. Somebody can be sitting there writing. I'm thinking, man, they're writing the best notes. But you know what? Sometimes they may be drawing a picture. And sometimes they may be drawing a picture of me. Are we engaged in worship? Are we engaged in what we're doing? There can be visible signs. Sometimes they're non-visible signs, but we need to recognize the signs of losing heart. And we need to make sure that we are doing the things so that we do not lose heart. Why are people, the fact that people lose heart? Well, there are some reasons for this. And one of those is tribulations. Turn back with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 if you've turned away from there. And let's just notice what he goes on and says as he goes on down to the text. He talks about that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We've been given this ministry, the gospel. And we have this treasure. And so that we may understand really that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. You know, Paul is saying, I understand that really I need to have the attitude that this is about God, it's not about me. And that's not going to be a whole lot in helping you to overcome problems. But notice what he says, we're troubled, verse 8, on every side. We are persecuted. We are cast down. We're bearing about in the Lord's body, the dying of the Lord. And we're doing this in our life, and we're trying to serve the Lord. We're bearing in our body about Jesus and his death and his resurrection, and we're being troubled, we're being perplexed, we're being cast down because of what we believe and what we practice. And because we would dare say, well, the Bible doesn't tell me that. Buck and I were on the radio program this morning. Some of you had heard the program. And we talked about some issues this morning. And I'm going to tell you what, when you go out there and you talk to people in the religious world, in the world in general, about some of the things we talked about, in marriage and homosexuality and the matter of the existence of hell, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, what are you talking about all that for? Where does it say what you're teaching in the Bible? Where does it say what you're teaching in the Bible? Where is that found? Well, they won't give you a passage. And when you say, well, here's what the Bible says, they'll ridicule you. They will say things against you. They will do everything. There will be all kinds of tribulations. It could be that you might suffer on your job. You might be passed over for a promotion because of what you stand for. You might be ostracized. You may even face some kind of physical abuse, as I think Paul did, as he talks about in the same letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all the things he suffered. He was beaten. He had suffered shipwreck. He suffered a lot of things. Why? For the cause of Christ. Because the people in the world did not believe him. Even brethren who sometimes ought to be on our side, sometimes may even go to the aid of the others and not standing up for what is right. And they may even sin against us. They may do something that harms us. Then there's sickness. There's death. There's separation. There's all these things that ultimately can cause us to lose heart. And we need to understand these reasons. Another reason why sometimes we'll lose heart, though, is really summed up in what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. He said this. He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Because iniquity, because sin abounds, lawlessness, iniquity, acting outside of law, because that is abounding. People don't want law. They want what they want. They want their feelings. They want to be caressed. They want to be handled gently. They want to be coddled. They don't want law. They don't want instruction. They don't want correction. They don't want rebuke from Scripture. No. Because they love lawlessness. Jesus says, the love of many will wax cold. They will lose heart. So finally, let me just ask, what are essentials to not losing heart? What are the essentials of not losing heart? Well, I would say the essentials of not losing heart is to appreciate the glorious nature of the ministry that we have been given. In verse 1, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Well, what is he doing? He's talking about the glory of the new and the old. In chapter 3, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the glory that we have in this ministry that we now have been given. Not in the old law and the commandments and the ordinances that are there, but now in this new that what we have and being able to be found in Christ. He says, now that we have this ministry, we receive mercy. We do not lose heart because we realize the power of Christ. We understand the glorious nature of our ministry, and then we understand Christ. We understand what Christ has done for us. You know, now these two things right here ought to help us a whole lot when we begin to think about losing heart. Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to walk away from the Lord? What am I walking away toward? What am I walking to? You know, if I really understand the glorious nature of the ministry we have, if I really understand that Jesus Christ has given his life for me, when I really get all this, these two points here honed down, then I have to stop and think, when I'm walking away from this, when I'm losing heart in this, what am I walking toward? What is it that's going to help me be better? What hope do I have for the future with where I'm going? And there's none. There's none. As a matter of fact, when you look at this and you go back to this chapter and we look at these things that he says, I'm troubled on every side. I'm perplexed. I'm cast down. You know, when we look at these things that Paul mentions here in the text as he goes on down, and I think about how it is that he looks at that. Now, there's where you are, but you're going to walk away from what you have in Christ. What are you giving up? You're giving up this. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not despaired. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Always being about in the Lord's body, the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. You see, it's looking to something different. I'm not looking at the here and now. I'm looking at the future. But when I'm walking away from Christ, what do I have? Do I have that? Can I say that I'm cast down but not destroyed? Can I say I'm troubled on every side yet not despair? No, I can't. Because all I'm going to see out there is I'm going to see troubles and problems and sickness and pain and all those things. But what am I going to have to go back to? Where am I going to hold? Where is going to be my hope? And the answer is there will be none. So he goes on in this text and he says, for the which cause we thank not. Verse 16, though the outward man may be perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The far more exceeding eternal weight of glory makes our affliction light and momentary. Looking at the unseen things is what Paul did daily. And I would say that essential to not losing heart is understanding that you need to look to the unseen things. Yes, you need to understand the ministry you have. You need to understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for your life. And then you need to look at the unseen things. Those three things are essentials if you're not to lose heart. Maybe that you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. My question is, what do you have to keep you from losing heart? You don't have that life of Jesus and that sacrifice for your sins. You don't have those things which are eternal in heavens. As he goes on in chapter 5, he says, for we know that if this earthly house and this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But if our focus isn't there and our life hasn't been put in Christ, then we don't have that. Maybe this morning you recognize that and you're ready to come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God. Be born again in the family of God. Not that in the family of God, in that relationship, there will never be anything disappointing. There will never be anything that will be hard. Because as Paul said, there will be. But because of who we are and what we have to look forward to, and the sacrifice that was made for us, we do not lose heart. And one day, we'll be away from here. We'll be joined around the throne of God. And we'll be in a place where we will have continual blessings, no discomfort of any kind, forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. We can assist you this morning in having that hope. The heaven that's waiting, there's no way to help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?